I want to continue in what the Lord has been saying to us in the last few weeks. And I believe it's something so important, particularly for the times that we live in. But more than that, that it's quite possible that even though this church was born of the Holy Spirit nearly 45 years ago, that the Holy Spirit has lost His proper place in our lives, in your life and mine, and in our church. And I believe that God is calling us as a church, as individuals, to give the Holy Spirit His proper place. And like I have said to you many times, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity, just like Jesus. The Son of God was the second person of the Trinity when He came to earth 2,000 years ago. And when He went back to heaven, He sent the third person. He says, I will come to you again. And He has come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on the day of Pentecost. And that is so important, that He have His place in your life and mine, your family life and mine, and in our church life. We see all through Scripture the place that the Holy Spirit has, right from the very beginning of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, creation begins with the Holy Spirit moving over the surface of the earth. God spoke and the Spirit moved. That's how the Bible begins. And all through, we see that. At the end of the Old Covenant, we see again, it's the Holy Spirit, though He's not mentioned by name, but God said, I will send you Elijah before the coming of the Lord. And Elijah has come. The church is Elijah. The church comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. The spirit that was upon Elijah must be in the church today. And like it says in the last book of the Old Covenant, in the last verse, where God says He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And that's how the Old Covenant ends, a curse. And when the Holy Spirit, it's not some black magic curse that you may be thinking of, but a withering up. Jesus cursed the fig tree, which was full of leaves, which was symbolic of Israel of His day. He said, no man eat fruit from you again, and immediately it withered up. And that's what happens when we don't give the Holy Spirit His proper place in our lives, personal life, and in the church, a curse comes. We wither up and eventually die. And the new covenant begins again with the Holy Spirit. Matthew, you read it there, in Luke, the Holy Spirit came with power, the power of the Most High on Mary. And the angel said, what is conceived in you is born of the Holy Spirit. That holy thing shall be called the Son of God. That's how the new covenant began. You see how important it is. That's the beginning of the new covenant. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The power of the Most High overshadowed her. And she conceived of the Holy Spirit. It was called the Son of God. His name shall be called Jesus, as He has come to save His people from their sins. And that's the new covenant. Jesus began His public ministry with the Holy Spirit coming upon Him. And if He needed the Holy Spirit to come upon Him, how much more you and I, my brothers and sisters? The church was born on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit upon that bunch of timid disciples, scared, waiting in the upper room. Everything changed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They became different men and women. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and me. I know that's how it was with me. I become another man. You become another woman. You see how important it is that we give Him His proper place in our life. This church was born 45 years ago through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not Brother Zach's bright idea or anyone's planning or scheming. But the Holy Spirit came upon us. The church was born. And He gathered us together. And you can see what God has done through these years. And right through the book of Acts, we see this. There were times when they went and when they were beaten up, when they were persecuted, they went and sought God. They praised the Lord. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them boldness. And so all through the scriptures, like a golden thread, the Holy Spirit has His proper place. Right till you come to the last book of the Bible. And that's Revelation. I'd like you to turn there. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And read the very last book of the Bible. Some of the last words of inspired scripture, where we see the revelation that John had. And here at the end, in Revelation 22, verse 1, He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that's the picture of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of its street, verse 2, on either side of the river was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. The curse is taken away. There's no curse that can come upon you and me. No ancestral curse. It was broken at the cross of Calvary. So we need not fear anything. When we are brought into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, there's no curse. There'll no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His bondservants will serve Him. And they will see His face. His name will be on their foreheads. That's how it is. We will see His face. One day we will see His face in all His fullness when we meet Him in the sky. We will see Him face to face. And we'll become like Him. We'll be changed. But today we can also see Him, see His face. I hope you see His face. I do. Not just every morning when we get up, but all through the day that we can see His face. His name will be on our foreheads. Even when the Antichrist rules the earth and gets people to bear His mark on their foreheads or secretly on their right arm, we have the name of God on our foreheads. No secret. And it says that there will no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And we get a taste of that in our life before Jesus comes. And He said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angels to show to His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly." Three times Jesus says. This is the words of Jesus. "I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." And John says, "I, John, the one who heard and saw these things, and when I saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book.' worship God. These are the last words of the revelation of John. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." The words have not been sealed up. And that's why God speaks to us, to give the Holy Spirit His proper place in our lives, in our personal life, in our home life, in our family life. Everything changes. I know how it changed for me. We may have ups and downs. There may be times that we go astray. Maybe times we become dry, but He brings us back. Many times He brings me back. There should be no backsliding. We cannot live in a backslidden condition if we have received the Holy Spirit. And so it says, verse 11, "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong." After hearing all this, you go through the scripture, and after hearing all the words that God has spoken, He says, "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong." Continue to be filthy. Continue to have grudges. Continue to have bitterness and resentment, and continue to grumble and complain, and continue to lust. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. The one who, the overcomers, the Spirit of God makes us overcomers. We can become righteous, the righteousness of God, and we can continue to practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, because He's the Holy Spirit. Like you heard Brother Zach say often, not a noisy spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. And here again Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." When somebody says that, you know, repeats it, that means it's urgent. There's an urgency there. "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." The Holy Spirit gives us the right to the tree of life. We can get life, not an experience, not a feeling, but life. That's what He gives. "Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." I hope there's nobody like that in our midst this morning. Love and practice lying. Some people lie. They lied through their teeth. They sat in CFC. You know, they call them pathological liars. They don't even know they're lying. "No lie shall be found in our mouths, my brothers and sisters." No lie. Then I know that I have the Holy Spirit. I know that I can be part of the bride. And it says there in verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. And this is the word on my heart, the Spirit and the bride." Now it's the Spirit and the bride, the church. Say, come. Come. This is the message of the last book in the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. In verse 20, Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." Do you hear what the Spirit is saying, my brothers and sisters, to the churches? "I'm coming quickly." Let's seek to give the Holy Spirit His proper place in our lives. Let's repent. We've ignored Him. We've lived in unbelief. And like we heard so wonderfully and powerfully last week, I don't have to qualify. By faith. By faith, I can receive the Holy Spirit. I don't have to reach it. Certain degree of life. I can receive Him by faith. I can receive His power by faith. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Not just when I get up in the morning, but all through the day. Every moment of the day, by faith. We walk by faith and not by feeling. And I want to ask ourselves a question this morning. If the Holy Spirit were to leave us, or leave our church, would we notice? Would we miss Him? Or will we just go on with our Bible reading and praying? I read my Bible, I prayed this morning, and attend our meetings, but He's not there. He's left. Would we miss Him? Passing through Ephesus, Paul met some disciples in Acts and chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Good question to ask ourselves, or ask one another. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. They had heard some powerful preaching in Ephesus. If you go back to the end of chapter 18, Apollos, you know, it says Apollos in verse 24. An eloquent man came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. I tend to think that Apollos, was not acquainted with the baptism of Jesus. He was acquainted with the baptism of John, of repentance. It was a baptism of repentance. But they explained to him the way of God more accurately, that Jesus had opened up the way, a new and living way. And I'm sure they would have told him about the Holy Spirit, who was poured out. And he went across. As a result of that, when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Something was missing though he was mighty in the scriptures, something was missing in Apollos' preaching. Aquila and Priscilla noticed it, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They explained to him what Jesus had come to do. And they explained to him the repentance through Jesus' baptism. We confess our sins and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And they explained to him the gospel of the grace of God. And so Apollos was gripped. He powerfully refuted the Jews in public. So I don't know, these disciples, they probably would have heard Apollos. They never heard about the Holy Spirit, because Paul asked them a question, a good question to ask ourselves. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Verse 2 of chapter 19. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Will you answer that question this morning? Not to me, but to God. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I'm not talking about what people say today, that when you're born again, when you repent and confess your sins, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking of what Jesus experienced. The heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit came upon him. I'm speaking about what the disciples experienced. The Holy Spirit came upon them as tongues of fire. And though they spoke in other tongues, something happened to their mother tongue. That's how I know the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And every time I slip up in my mother tongue, I'm convicted. And there's a cleansing. I get a new tongue. My speech becomes more gracious. Not just refined, not just I'm careful. Something has happened to this man. something has happened to that woman. People must see it. And that's why Paul asked him, because he found something missing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I found that in talking to different ones. Something missing. And I asked them this question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I've come across people sitting 20 years here. And they said, no. I said, you sat 20 years. You've not sought God? No, I've been asking. Ask, you can go on asking till Jesus comes and nothing happens. And fine, duty left back. At least these were honest, these disciples. He says, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And then John says, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, verse 4, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who were coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had already confessed their sins, but they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. They were in all about 12 men. So I was just saying a little while ago, supposing the Holy Spirit leaves CFC, would we miss him? Would we find something's wrong? He's not there. Or will we just go on living our lives, coming to meetings, all the religious activities, and not even a clue? Like Samson, he had no clue. The Spirit had left him. He rose up like other times, but what happened? His eyes were gouged. He was put in chains. His eyes were gouged out. The Spirit of God had left him, and he did not know. The sad thing, my brothers and sisters, like Jesus said to the leader of the church of Laodicea, you do not know. You're miserable and poor and blind and naked. I said to the Lord, I said to him with tears, Lord, I want to know when I get miserable and poor and blind and naked. I want to know. And I prayed that prayer that David prayed. Under the old covenant, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I've sinned. I've fallen. But don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. My brothers and sisters, I do not believe that in these days, not just us, but God's people have become so callous. And we do not give the Holy Spirit His proper place in our lives. That's why we miss out on all that God has planned for us. The things that God has planned for those who love Him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. The things that God has planned for those who love Him. It's the Spirit who reveals, we read in 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Spirit reveals the things that God has prepared. So without the Holy Spirit, how will you know the things that God has prepared for you and for me? Jesus said to that woman, we were looking at a few, and we heard a few weeks ago, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's asked you for a drink, you would ask Him for living water. Jesus asked for a drink, but He promised the woman a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what happened. Changed her whole life. A disillusioned, frustrated, despised woman. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus said to her, and who it is who speaks to you, you will ask Him and He would give you living water. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? How long are you going to go on asking? We don't need to go on asking and asking. We heard last week, by faith, I'm a needy man, Lord. I'm a needy woman. I need power. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to know the things that you have prepared for me because I love you. In John chapter 7, you know, in verse 37, 39, we have looked at that word so many times. On the last day of the feast, seeing people satisfied with a form, the last day, you know, the emotion. It's like the last day of conference. Emotions run high. No power. That's what happens in so-called revival meetings. Emotions run high. People go through the emotions. So many people gather together. You see it. People are worked up. They hear a good message. They hardly leave the premises and go back. And as they travel back, they're back again to their old kind of life. And Jesus, seeing such people on the last day of the feast, seeing people satisfied with a form and keeping tradition and coming so faithfully, so regularly, he cried out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Any man is thirsty. Thirsty disciples are the ones who are not just fed up with a system, but fed up with themselves. We had many people come to us who are fed up with what they see around them in so-called Pentecostal, charismatic churches. Fed up with people wanting their money. Fed up with all the gimmicks and the sham and all they see. And they think, oh, let's come to CFC. They don't ask for tithes. They don't even tell us to put offerings in the box. And we get a good meal also sometimes. Let's join CFC. I want to say, my brothers and sisters, if there's anyone like that here among us this morning, you'll get fed up of CFC very soon. I've seen that. But those who are fed up with themselves are thirsty. They want life. They're not just looking for another system. They're not just looking for something different. They're not just looking for truth. Thank God for the truth. They're not looking for right doctrine. They're looking for something more. They're looking for life. If you come here to find life, I hope you found it. I found it 44 years ago. And I pray that you will find it very soon. That's why Jesus said to some people, religious people, "Are you tired?" Matthew 11, 28, another word we looked at many times. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Come to me. See how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Come to me and you'll find rest. Your heart's desire will be satisfied. And Jesus went on and to say in John chapter 7, verse 38, when he cried out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," that's important. I must believe. I must have faith. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And verse 39, "But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." He who believes in him, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What is that scripture that Jesus referred to? There are many scriptures where God speaks, promises the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I think particularly of this one in Ezekiel 47. We don't have time to look at it. But I would encourage you to go home tonight before you go to bed and read Isaiah 47, 1 to 12. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. There's Ezekiel's vision there. I like this. You know, when we see something, Ezekiel's vision, Jeremiah's dream. Jeremiah said, "I woke up and my sleep was pleasant to me." Because God had spoken to him about restoration and what God is going to do with his people, to his people. Ezekiel 47. I tell you, thirst is such a blessed thing. Physical thirst, but how much more spiritual thirst? I hope. I want to be as thirsty as I get physically thirsty. I want to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. I hope that is your desire. Ezekiel's vision there. We don't have time, like I said, but take time to read, because this is a description of the life that Jesus promises us under the new covenant. It says, he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faces east, and behold, water was trickling. And that's where it starts. Water was trickling from the south side. And water was coming from the altar. That's where it has to begin. The altar of sacrifice, where Jesus laid down his life, John 3:16. In the altar of sacrifice, we have an altar, it says in Hebrews 13. We have an altar. I hope you have an altar. I want to have an altar. 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 is the altar of sacrifice where Jesus laid down his life and poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. 1 John 3:16. If I have an altar in my life, that as Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And so, it goes on to say there in verse 3, it says at the end of verse 3, water reaching the ankles. Again he measured, verse 4, water reaching the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. You get? You see, that is the life that God offers us in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't overwhelm us, but he leads us through the water, leads us so that we can become conformed to his image. And then it says, you know, he says he measured, verse 5, 1,000, it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. That is the life that God offers us in the Holy Spirit. Water that takes us off our feet. We like to be our feet. You get into a pool or you get into a river, you're happy your feet are on the ground. But you get a peculiar feeling when your feet are off the ground, because the depth has increased. And that's how it is, life in the Spirit. We are carried along. We're carried along in this river. My feet are no longer on the ground. And this is the river, like we read in Revelation 22, that flows from the throne of God, crystal clear. I drink from this river. I'm carried by this river. And wherever the river goes, we read in Ezekiel 47, it brings freshness. That's the first thing you see there. Freshness. Wherever the river flowed, some places remain marshy, they want to be marshy. But wherever the marshy places allow the river to flow, the salty places allow the river to flow, it became fresh. That's how it should be in your life and mine, my brothers and sisters. Wherever we go, there's a freshness. Is there a freshness or you become stale? You become dry? You drag yourself to the meetings? And wish now, when's it going to be over? You have so many things in mind. Freshness and life and fruitfulness. You read it there in Isaiah 47. Fruit all through the year. Read it in Revelation 22. Every month, all through the year, 12 months, 365 days, fruit. That's what the river does in your life and mine, my brothers and sisters. God offers us this life. And I want to say to us what we read in Revelation 22. I'm coming quickly, Jesus said. Don't go on asking. Make sure. I'm not going to leave you. till you bless me. Will not leave you till you bless me. I've asked for 20 years now. I'm going to ask you, Lord, and I'm not going to get up from here till I know you have baptized me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Not just that I can have a degree. Or when somebody asks me, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? I can say yes. You know, not a degree like you get a BA, you're born again. You get another degree, not BSc, but BSP. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, BA, BSP. Is that all you want in CFC? I don't want that. You want a degree, born again. Yes, I'm born again. I'm also now a BSP. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a very low level, my brothers and sisters. But more than that, we heard, you know, Jesus didn't leave us as orphans. He says, I'll come to you. He didn't put us in a creche or kinder care. He put you and me in a family. I hope you found a family here, not a creche. You know, you put children in a creche to be taken care of, fed, and nappies changed. A lot of people want the church like that. You belong to a creche. Jesus didn't leave a creche here. He left a family. Part of the family of God. And why do we say that we want to preserve the family in CFC? A CFC family. Not a commitment list, telephone list, all this. CFC family. I want to be committed to the family of God here. Have you found a family, my brothers and sisters? If you have found CFC as a creche, get out quickly. This crash will close down one day. But if you found a family, it'll be there till Jesus comes. And for all eternity, the family of God on earth. I thank God I have found a family here in 45 years. And it's blessed my heart and blessed my family and blessed many, many things in my life. Two things I want to leave with you. You're going to hear a video clip, a message of Brother Zach, a 14-minute message. But two things I want to leave with you that you would hear him testify his own personal testimony. And the result, like I said, is not that we get a degree. I'm born again and now I am also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the elders ask me, I can say yes. Have you found a dad in heaven? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Romans 8, 15 to 17. Another word we have looked at so often. Where he says, the Living Bible, we should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of His family and calling to Him, Daddy, Daddy. That's what it is. We receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Daddy, Papa, Appa. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's done that in my life. I have a dad. You heard Santosh relate about his little girl getting up at night in the dark. And you know how little children are. And he heard a call and he's up at once. Daddy! That's the call. That's how in the dark, when it gets dark. Daddy! He's there. He's not left my hand. He will not leave your hand. Whatever we have to go through, we can always know I have a dad who holds my hand. And it says there, His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts, telling us that we really are God's children. And since we are His children, we will share His treasures. All God gives, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Because if God has given His Son up for us, how much more will He not give freely give us all things? But if we have to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. And none of us here can qualify. None of us here are worthy to receive all that God has prepared for us. None of us here, I know I was not worthy. You will hear Brother Zach's testimony. I was absolutely not worthy. I was in a backslidden state in the denomination church. It drove me, it made me thirsty. I didn't get fed up of the Baptist church. I got fed up of myself. Brother Zach didn't get fed up of the Baptist church. He got fed up of himself. It was the lowest point of his life, he said. Never even thought he would be a... he didn't come to Emmanuel Church as a pastor. But he never thought that he would go... But God had he would go so low to be a pastor. The lowest ebb of his life. It was the lowest ebb of my life. I was not worthy. I was not fit. And I remember that day. I said, Lord, I don't care if this church throws me out. My need is greater than my ministry. That's the place we have to come to, my brothers and sisters. Then only the Holy Spirit will have his place in your life. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit. Take everything else away. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. My need is greater than anything else. Whatever else you have on your mind, whatever agenda, if you come to that place, you're a thirsty man, you're a thirsty woman, you will be satisfied. You will receive the water of life. And the second thing that you will see, as Brother Zach shares, that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. John 17:23. The Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. What he's done for Jesus, he will do for you. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus says, three times, not just because he says, I'm coming quickly, but if you lived here, coming week after week, meeting after meeting, and you don't see your need, you're not a thirsty man, you're not a thirsty woman, something's wrong. Wake up. Wake up. The door will close soon. I hope you get in before that. So we'll hear this video clip of Brother Zach's personal testimony, and then we'll sing that song. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for Jesus, he will do for you. Amen.
John 17:23, he loves me exactly like he loved Jesus. John 17:23, I'll tell you, this is the verse that changed my life 43 years ago. Not only the baptism in the Holy Spirit, along with that, like the Bible says, when the Spirit comes into your heart, he cries out, Dad! Or as the Bible says, Abba. Abba is the Hebrew word for dad. Or closer to our Tamil and Malayalam, Appa. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 8. You know that the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our heart, he cries out. It's one of the marks of being born again, Romans 8:15. He cries out, Appa! Or in English, Daddy! That's how you know the Holy Spirit's come in. I've got a daddy in heaven who loves me. Wonderful. Nobody in the old covenant could have that. Nobody could go to him and say, Daddy. I can do it. And I don't use the word daddy in public. I do what Jesus said, Father, Father in heaven. But privately, when I'm praying alone to God, I say, Dad. I call him Dad. Just like my children call me. I don't sing these songs of Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. I say, all Jewish people, please sing that. I'm not a Jew. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I never sing that song. I sing softly while they're singing that. I say, there's no God like my dad. Let them sing that. I don't think it's so loud it'll clash with their words. All the Jews are singing, there's no God like Jehovah. I sing, there's no God like my dad. I take the new covenant seriously. Every word is important. Let no careless word come out of my mouth. And you heard me use the example. People have told me this. Isn't God's name Jehovah? Why can't we call him? I said, if my son comes to me and says, Mr. Poonen, can I talk to you? I'll say, are you angry with me? And you go to God and say, Jehovah. God say, are you angry with me? Sure, any father will wonder why his Don't say, isn't his name Jehovah, I can call him. If you're a Jew, by all means call him Jehovah. But for me, he's Dad. And it's made, I mean, it means so much to me because it made a tremendous difference in my life. I was an insecure Christian, always scared, shy, withdrawn when I was born again. And I said, Lord, I can't be a witness for you like this. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that happened to me was he became my Dad. And thereafter, I'm very careful. You know, even some of the well-known things, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. No. Guide me, O my heavenly Father. I just don't use that word. And if you ask me why, I say, because I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. And that's not for me. That's not the way I call him. It's very important. Try and take a concordance and go through, look up and see the word Jehovah and see how many times it comes in the New Testament. See if the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew for 30 years, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He got converted from calling God Jehovah for 30 years to calling God Dad. We who have never called God Jehovah, we get converted and start calling him Jehovah. We're crazy. I tell you, you think that's unimportant? You think of your relationship with the Father. That's why so much insecurity. You don't know God as your Dad. You've got a stranger in heaven. I've got a Dad in heaven. You've got a head of government in heaven. He's not head of government for me. He's my Dad. He may be the head of government for the universe, but he's my Dad. It's so important. John 17:23. He said, the world must know, and I want the world to know, that you have loved them just like you loved me. John 17:23, the last part. So that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them just as much as you loved me. There are many verses in the Bible that says God loves us. But only one verse that tells us how much he loved us. Only one. God loves me as much as he loved Jesus. To me, that is the central verse in the whole Bible. You ask me the message of the Bible in one verse, I'll tell you. God loves me as much as he loved Jesus Christ. Everything else in the Bible flows from that. That is the source of this spring from which I get forgiveness, from which I get fullness of the Spirit, from which God equips me to preach his word, anoints me continuously to preach his word, to build churches, to proclaim the truth in every way. It flows from one spring in my life anyway. God loves me as much as he loved Jesus. It's an amazing truth. Do I deserve it? Definitely not. I'm the last person in the world to deserve it. But he loves me. He loves those who don't deserve. He fills with the Spirit those who don't deserve. I remember when I was asking God for a refilling of the Holy Spirit 44 years ago, I was in such desperate need, broken, defeated. I had hit rock bottom and deserved to be sent to hell. And instead of sending me to hell, when I was praying and fasting and seeking God, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. The very opposite of what I should deserve. It's like, I picture it like this. I'm working in a factory and I'm pretty useless with my hands and I mess up this machine and then the manager forgives me, the owner forgives me, and then I go to another machine and I mess up that. And then one day I mess up the most expensive machine in the factory. And the owner of the factory says, come here, I want to see you. And I go to see him. I know I'm going to be fired, sacked, and turned out of the office that day. And he says, I'm appointing you general manager of this factory. And I'm making your salary 5 times what you're getting. I said, I don't make fun of me. No, that's what I'm doing. But sir, I messed up all these machines. That's okay. I know you'll be more responsible now. That's exactly what God did for me when He filled me with the Holy Spirit. When I was at rock bottom, I learned one thing that day, that the fullness of the Spirit is not given to people who deserve it. Some of you are trying to deserve the fullness of the Spirit. You can keep seeking. For 50 years, you'll never get it. Did you get forgiveness of sins because you deserved it? All the people who think they deserve forgiveness of sins and roll on the ground and go give money and light candles and go to temples and mosques and churches, they don't get it. But those who come and say, "Lord, I don't deserve it at all. I'm the worst sinner in the world," they get it immediately. I didn't deserve to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you the honest truth. I'm not trying to be humble. If there was a person on earth that day, that was January the 12th, 1975, if there was one person on earth who did not deserve to be filled with the Holy Spirit in all the 7 or 5 billion people in the world those days, it was me. And I said, "I'm going to fill him with the Holy Spirit." Don't go to God seeking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit thinking you deserve it. You'll never deserve it. Go to Him like you ask for forgiveness of sins. "Lord, I'm utterly undeserving. But I'm seeking You because I want to live for You. I want this power." It's one of the great blessings of the new covenant. What all happened to me when the Holy Spirit filled my inside? It's like my eyes were opened. The veil was taken away from Scripture. And I began to read the same verses I read for years. And I got enlightened. God had become my dad. And a dad tells his children things that he doesn't tell other strangers. What a wonderful blessing to be in the new covenant. To know God as my dad. Jesus my elder brother. Like we sing in that song. That's when I wrote that song. When I understood that in 1907. What He did for Jesus, He will do for you. As He cared for Jesus, He will care for you. When people tried to kill Jesus when He was a baby, He was so helpless. God saved Him. I've seen examples like that in my life. I don't have time to tell you all of them. But God saved me, protected me from evil men. How many accidents He protects me? Because He cares for me exactly like He cared for Jesus. Jesus could not die before His time. They could not throw Him over a cliff. He could not drown in the sea. No, because His hour had not yet come. They sent soldiers to capture Him. They could not capture Him. His hour had not come. As He cared for Jesus, He will care for you. As He loved Jesus, He will love you. Why is it Jesus didn't get cancer and die when He was 25? I'm not judging people who get cancer. I don't know all the reasons that happens. But I know one thing. I know that I'm loved just like God loved Jesus. John 17:23 is the foundation of my life. My personal life, my family life, my church ministry, everything is founded on one foundation. God loves me as He loved Jesus Christ. You believe it? It's yours. You don't believe it? It's not yours. Somebody gives you a check for 100 million rupees. You take it, put it in the bank, it's yours. You look at it, frame it up and put it on the wall, you get nothing. You know that when it comes to money, you know that the only way is you put your name on it, cash it and give it in the bank for them to cash it. It's the same way, the promise. God loves me as He loved Jesus. "Lord, I believe it. Not because I deserve it. Far from it. I'll tell you, I'm not trying to be humble. I did not deserve that more than any of you. I deserved it less than all of you. But God filled me with the Holy Spirit. My whole life was changed." It's the secret of the Christian life, the new covenant, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't treat it lightly. You go to God and say, "Lord, I will not let You go unless You fill me with the Holy Spirit." Like Jacob laid hold of God one day. He was spent his life grabbing women and money and all that. One day he said, "I grab hold of You, God." We read in Genesis 32, I think it's verse 25. "I will not let You go until You bless Me. I will not let You go." When you see God like that, "Dad, You're my dad. I've forgiven everybody. I have repented of everything that I know. I don't have victory yet." No. I need the Holy Spirit to get victory. "But I've forgiven everybody. I've repented of everything. I've turned from everything. I want You to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Dad, why won't You do that for me?" "You will do it for me." And then believe He'll do it. You, unworthy, undeserving you, can experience the mighty miracle of God in your life. Go and seek Him. And you don't have to go to some meeting where you ask somebody to lay his empty hands on your empty head. That's not the way to get the anointing. Go before God and say, Lord Jesus, put your nail-pierced hands. That's what I often say. Put your nail-pierced hands on my head, Lord, and anoint me. That's what I want. And I tell you, God will do it. Why won't He do it? If He did it for me, I'm absolutely sure He'll do it for you. He won't make you a preacher like me. If you're coveting to be a preacher like me, forget it. Your gift may be something else. If God has called you to be a little finger and not a tongue, maybe I'm the tongue. If God says you're to be a little finger, not a tongue, be happy to be a little finger. Be happy to have the ministry God has for you. Don't look for ministry. Say, Lord, I want the life that Brother Zach has. The same life of never getting discouraged, always giving thanks and forgiving everybody and releasing everybody and free from anger. I want that life even if I don't have any ministry. I want that life. Seek for the life. Many people, when they seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they are coveting a ministry. That's why you don't get it. Seek for the life.
God has spoken to us. Will you respond? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. Come and drink of the water of life without cost. Unworthy as we are, undeserving, say, Lord, I come. I come with my defeat, with the mess that you may have made, how backslidden you are this morning, how bad it has become in your home, in your family. He says, come. Come, I'll give you the water of life without cost. You don't have to be coming to draw from meetings. Come to me and say, like we heard, Lord Jesus, lay your nail-pierced hand on my head right now. Put your nail-pierced hand, Lord Jesus, on my head this morning. Cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I come. I've asked You many times before, but I'm asking You again, and I believe. It's the last time I'll have to ask You, because You'll give me the assurance. Put Your nail-pierced hand, Lord Jesus, on my head right now. And that hand, those hands that were nail-pierced by me, by my sin, lay those same hands on my head. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Help me to know that I have a dad in heaven. The Spirit can come into my heart and I can say, Daddy, Appa. And you're not a dad, you'll forsake me. You'll hold my hand right to the very end. You'll hold my hand through the darkness. Dad, because you love me as much as you love Jesus. You will care for me as much as you cared for Jesus. I come to you in my need. I don't deserve. I don't deserve anything for you. I deserve hell. But you love me. You'll not send me to hell. You paid the price, Lord Jesus. You suffered hell on that cross for me. And I come to you, Lord. Baptize me. Let the Holy Spirit come upon me. Changing me, making me into another man, another woman. Lifting me to greater heights that I've never known before. For I will know you and see you and talk to you face to face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Dad. We worship you. We praise you. Lift up your heart. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Thank Him. Thank Him that you asked Him and He's heard you. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Praise you that you heard us. Praise you that you will not disappoint us. We'll not go away from here disillusioned, dissatisfied. We have tasted the water of life. It will become a river in which we will swim in these last days before you come. I'm coming quickly. Yes, Lord Jesus, come soon. We thank you. Amen. Let's sing that song in faith, believing. It's no secret what God can do, what He's done for Jesus. What He's done for Brother Zach, what He's done for me, what He's done for all our elder brothers, and for many here, He'll do for you. Unworthy, undeserving as you are, go out with that confidence this morning and make a new beginning in your life, in your personal life, in your family life, your relationships, in the home and with brothers and sisters. What He's done for Jesus, He'll do for you. Come, brothers.
Let's sing When Bowed with Burdens and with Care.
When bowed with burdens and with care, your soul is in despair. You don't have to fear. God is very near. He loves you as He loves. His word of promise, and He will see you through. This is the good news, what God can do. What He did for Jesus, He'll do for you.
What He did for Jesus.
have come to know Jesus as your Lord.